Let's start together the last session for today, the fourth session. So we have spoken about the fact that listening to God is important. This is the foundation of all the Bible. From the first people in Genesis to Revelation, Adam walks with God, listens to God, to Revelation. John, the apostle, listens to God and shares with us what God reveals to him. It's the foundation of all the Bible. But sometimes we forget that if it's all the examples in the Bible, perhaps it's because God wants us to listen to him. And it's what you find everywhere in the New Testament. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. Prophecy is about listening to God and embodying, incarnating the words we receive from God, doing what God tells us, basically. And this learning cannot be replaced by any theological lesson which is not embodied. We often speak of incarnating our theology. Have you heard this word? That's good to incarnate our theology, but let's be simple. Let's put feet to our faith. Let us do what Jesus tells us. But we have one problem. If we say to God, speak, and we put our hands on our ears, or we have earphones speaking another music in our heads than Jesus' words, do you think it will work well? No. We have to remove the voices which are not from God. You know how we call that in theology? Sanctification. Sanctification, purification, is to get rid from all what hinders our relationship with God. The purpose of sanctification is to purify our heart. This one you know. What is the purpose of the purification? Could you tell me? To be proud, to impress people. What's the purpose of God's purification?
Fully devoted to God.
Fully devoted to God, okay, that's great, that's theory, but at a practical level, what does it mean?
To be closer to God.
And if you're closer to God, what happens?
Intimacy.
Intimacy. What happens with intimacy?
Communication.
Communication, yes.
Efficient one.
Efficient one, yes. We hear God clearly, and we don't confuse his voice with all the voices of the world. We recognize the voice of the shepherd and we do what he tells us. You find that everywhere in the Bible. When people are filled with the Spirit, they recognize God's voice. When the 70 are filled with the Spirit in the time of Moses, what happens? They prophesy, which means they hear God speak to them and they tell what he is telling them. When Samuel, the king, is filled with the Spirit of God, what happens? He prophesies. When Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, is filled with the Spirit, what happens? He prophesies. When Joel says, "Your sons and your I will spread the Spirit on all flesh, your sons and your daughters will." Do you see a pattern there? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Two-way communication. We perceive what God wants to tell us. Without holiness and sanctification, nobody will see God. The purpose of entire sanctification is to initiate an intimacy with God. Sometimes in Nazarene circles, we have failed, sometimes, to teach that entire sanctification is for intimacy. And by not connecting the two together, we end up having people who don't repent and still want this intimacy. I often have that. People we pray with, they want to listen to God, but they don't get rid of the sins. Sometimes I've prayed with people who say I'm a prophet to the nation. One of the most significant ones, I had a person in South Africa who said to me, I'm a prophet, I follow this class, this class, this class, for prophecy, probably in other churches. And then she says, could you pray for my husband? Because he's not a Christian. So basically, she has no problem, her husband has a problem. I said, oh, great, great. May I pray with you? And then I lead her through a few steps. I lead people. I say, okay, first, will you allow me to pray with you so that we listen to God together? I don't tell her, you need to listen, because she said to me, the person was praying 5 hours a day. Wow, 5 hours a day. So I said to her, would you mind I let you go through steps? I accompany people for listening to God. She said, okay. She's a specialist. She's praying 5 hours a day, has degrees in prophecy. Let us start with a simple one. Let's ask God if there is anything He wants to change in your life. Why? Because if we don't turn away from the things God does not want, it's a voice which is not from Him, which messes up our hearing God. Is it simple enough? So we pray together. The lady tells me, and it could be a man, men and women, we're learning similarly on these ones. She says, I sense Jesus tells me I should stop gambling. Ha! 5 hours a day prayer and gambling. Could it be that the voice of gambling was messing up her listening to God? Yes. It's okay. Are you willing? In this first step, I always encourage people, we will do it together, to not stop before you sense a clear guidance on the first step to do to stop that. We'll mention it again tomorrow. Repentance is not only stopping to do the wrong thing, it's beginning to do the right thing. So I walk with people and I said to the person, okay, do you know how to stop that? Yes. Do you know how to replace it with something else more healthy? She said, yes. So I said, are you willing to stop this journey? She says, yes. So tell it to Jesus. She says, yes. And then, second step, after this question of repentance, and that's a simple one, repent for the kingdom of God is near. You cannot welcome with Jesus and keep things which are not from Him. You cannot do both. You have to let God clear your heart. Get rid of what is not from Him, so that you can see clearly. Second point, I often speak about forgiveness. It's a big one, because often people pray without forgiving. Jesus has told us clearly, if you don't forgive, you will not be forgiven. When we decide not to forgive, it's like if we say, okay, this is the seat of the judge, of God as judge, but I think God is not such a good judge. I think I judge better this person. If I forgive the person, I'm not sure God will judge properly. So I keep a grudge because I want to make sure that the person is punished, if possible by me. You know? Basically, it's telling God I don't trust in you as a good judge. Do you think it will create a healthy relationship with God when you do that? Could it be that it messes up the relationship? This is like poison in the relationship. If we keep poison of unforgiveness in our hearts, let us not be surprised that there is not a healthy relationship. When you have poison in your body, if you have a little bit of poison, do you keep it? Or do you get rid of it? Do you wait? Or do you get rid of it right now? Right now. Okay, so for a little offense, you have to forgive right now. But a big offense, we need time. We need time to deal with it and to forgive the person. Don't you agree with me? When we have a lot of poison in our heart, we should take the time to think if we want to get rid of the poison. We should not go too quickly. Do you agree? Is it a good idea? It's stupid. If we have a lot of poison, we have to get even faster rid of it. One time we prayed with a lady, and she had to forgive the man who killed her son a month before in her house. She had problems of health, bleeding kidneys, she said. I'm not sure exactly what it was, but it was very painful. After tears and struggle, she forgave. Forgiveness is not reconciliation. Remember about that. There is a distinction. Matthew 18 is a great chapter on this one. Forgive means I stop judging the person. I leave the person in the hands of God. Reconciliation necessitates a recognition of the person who has harmed the other. That is a two-way relationship there. It's something different. Is it clear for you? Forgiveness, do we need to wait before forgiving? No, it's right now. If you don't forgive, you cannot pray. How long do you want to live without prayer, without connection with God? 0 minutes, 0 seconds. So the lady forgave the person who had killed her son, and just after we could pray for her, she felt electricity in her kidneys, healed. 2 months later, she said it has not come back completely. Complete healing. The key for her healing was forgiveness, to let the flow of God go through her and not hinder the love of God to go through our body. Our bodies are powerful tools for God to speak to us. You know that even psychologists have studied the physical impact of unforgiveness, and they even do studies on how it harms our bodies. Unbelievers, people we don't even believe in God. How much more we Christians have to have common sense. So when we pray with the lady who was praying 5 hours a day, you remember? I said, ask Jesus if there is anything you have to forgive to someone or to yourself. She says, ah, I sense there is someone who has harmed me when I was a kid. I need to forgive this person. She forgave the person. It's a person who was praying 5 hours a day with a clear sin, gambling, with a clear unforgiveness. Do you think it was harming your relationship with God? That's the foolishness that we have as humans. We spend a lot of time doing stuff, but we don't get the basics right. Sanctification is at the heart of this intimacy with God. And the more you connect the two, the more you will see the power of God's love flow in people. The more you will see young people wanting to be sanctified. They will not only accept, they will want that, because they want this closeness with God. And if you teach properly, the people are so happy to go through, to surrender their lives to Christ, so that they can have this relationship. And you help them to have a good start to move forward. With this lady, we prayed, and after repenting, after forgiving, she could, and I told her it's one of the ways, no perfect way there, but you can use your imagination. You imagine you're with Jesus, because Jesus said I'm with you up to the end of the age, so using our imagination is one way to help us realize God is real. Remember, when we use our imagination, it's not a tool of control, it's a tool for learning to listen to God. Very important point. You have people in the New Age movement who tell you to imagine in order to get things. You know, they say, imagine you get the thing you want. If you imagine it's strong enough, you will get it. Have you ever heard that kind of stuff?
Of course, the power of attraction.
Power of attraction, yes. Are we on the Bean analytical knowledge? Or the Yada relational knowledge? Analytical control knowledge. That's not a relationship with God. God is not a puppet. He's the Lord of the world. He loves us, but he does not want us to pilot him like a puppet. So the purpose of using our imagination is to learn to let God speak to us. And the whole purpose of this is to learn to be free to hear God speak to us, interact with us, show us images, speak words to us. And here, some of you will say, oh, how can I be sure that it's God? What's my answer?
It's not the right question.
It's not the right question. You're asking the BIM analytical knowledge question. That's not a relationship question. If each time my wife speaks, I think, is it really Sandra who speaks, or is it an impression? Do you think it will help the relationship? She will be frustrated. She will say, try to speak to you. So when you dialogue with God, the encouragement I give you is journal, write down. Write down what you sense God is telling you, your yada side. After you have journaled, you can use the being knowledge. You can say, okay, what I had the impression God tell me, is it in agreement with scriptures? Does it make sense? Reason? Is it something others have experienced? Tradition? Did I sense peace in my heart? That's a key one. Then you analyze, but not while you are discussing. It's when you reflect after that you can do that, okay? When you let impressions come, accept that you don't control, and you let the impressions come, and you learn to write down, and through experience you see which ones bring good fruits. What you can expect is peace. With this lady, once she had forgiven, once she had repented, she could see herself with Jesus, and I encourage her to begin to speak. When I encourage people to speak, the focus is not data, but love. It's not data for control, but love for relationship. So the first question I invite you to ask when you, if you imagine Jesus is with you, ask him, Jesus, do you love me? And you let Jesus show his love. For some of you, you will have the impression Jesus hugs you. Don't stop thinking, oh, I'm not sure. Let it go. It will not harm anyone to have the impression Jesus hugs you, okay? Because he loves you. He gave his life on the cross. It's just a way for you to not only analyze things, but let the heart be touched by God's love. If you have the impression Jesus speaks words of encouragement to you, go for it. As parents, if your kids ask you, do you love me? Do you say to them, I'm tired of telling you, I already told you I love you, now go for it, leave me alone? Or do you say, I love you? If your kid asks you 5 times a day, do you love me? Will you say yes 5 times a day? Of course. So do not be afraid of asking God, like if you will threaten him by asking, do you love me? Okay? So that's the foundation for helping people to be in this yada knowledge. Ask Jesus, do you love me? And you let him show his love for you. We need that. We need that. This is the foundation of the relationship. Then you can ask him, for instance, how do you see me? Do you have an advice to give me? And how to better love others? Again, focus on love, relational knowledge, not on control. You don't ask first, Jesus, tell me the secret of the heart of this person. No, we are not about secrets. We all are about love. Sometimes God gives you key knowledge on people. Leanne was sharing with me an experience when she had God show her something about someone that you shared with the person. Was the person touched, Leanne?
The second story when I saw the picture?
Yes.
This picture. So I was praying for him and telling him that today the way Father was talking was not the right way. And he was calling his friend and he was so shocked and he was asking him what happened today. And he said, like, I had a fight with my father. You had a fight with your father. And he said, where I was sitting, and he told him right here. So I was seeing the picture clearly, like it was in front of my eyes.
That's one of the possibilities. Thank you for sharing, Leah. My wife, Sandra, also has in general clear pictures. In my case, it's more hearing words, impressions. The pictures are not very clear. Each of you are different. Don't try to measure up with others. We are unique. The key thing is, each of us, we have been designed by God to be able to hear his voice and to recognize how he guides us. Okay? Remember, you will be different. Don't try. When I heard the first time people sharing about clear pictures, I was thinking, that's not what I experience. And I realized, you know what? Some people, I had a lady in South Africa, when she was seeing people, she began to feel pains in her body. I said, sister, sometimes it's a way that God shows you how to pray for the person. But you need to come, be ready to ask the person, perchance do you have pain in this part of your body where you have sensed the pain when you saw the person. It could be a way the Spirit shows you to pray for the person. How will you know? By doing it. You can think about it 20 years in success. Say, do you have pains in this part of your body? It can be one way God speaks to you. The key thing is to realize God speaks. And by removing the voices which are not from God, you will learn to discern God's voice. And I promise you, it works. Because you have been created for hearing God. It's the very purpose of your creation, the very purpose of God putting you in this world, for you to hear His voice, His love, and respond to His love. In the case of this dear lady, after that she could see Jesus speaking to her, giving her advice on how to love her husband. Remember first, pray for my husband, he's not a Christian. Bah. You know how we can kind of blame on the end product is God could purify her heart so that she can see more clearly and could bless her husband by simple actions. As we teach, I like to highlight that there are ways to teach in a Wesleyan way. A Wesleyan way will not be a power approach where you see things in the Spirit which give you power. It's a way which you find frequently in some churches where they see things in the Spirit. They spend time fasting, Spirit, seeing things in the Spirit, which gives them a kind of control, knowledge about things. It's not the kind of things I encourage. What I encourage is a two-way communication grounded in love. That's a good Wesleyan foundation, a good biblical foundation. That's why I encourage people to go back and forth with Jesus, so that it's a relationship. Does it make sense? You're not looking for power, you're looking for receiving God's love and communicating God's love in this world. Very important point. That's the foundation of this listening to God. So now we will do simple exercises. Some of you will succeed easily, will have nice pictures. Some of you will struggle mightily. This is okay. You know what? We are each of us at different stages. Sometimes God intentionally will make it difficult for you for the first exercises because He wants to teach something to the body of Christ, us together. But through your struggle, you will be a blessing to another. Do you know that when we struggle together, we learn faster? Of course, I do hope that most of you will experience first communication, but if you don't, it's okay. We are learning together. And as we learn together, my prayer is when we come at the end of this week, each of you can say, yes, I've learned key elements on how to hear God speak to me, and I can practice that. That's one of my hopes for this week. So, the first way, I am not starting from scratch. God has been speaking to each of you before. And my purpose is to help you to get back if you have not been listening, or encourage if you have been listening, where God is at work in your life. So, what will we do first exercise? You will pray and ask God, is there something you have been trying to tell me these last days? And you will just relax. And you can close your eyes to let, if there are images, it's fine. Take a relaxed position in your seat. And you simply ask Jesus, or God, is there something you have been trying to tell me in these last days? Either that you want to tell me or me to change, and you let the first impressions come. If they make sense, you dialogue with Jesus to know if it's something to change, how to change it. If it's something God wants to encourage you, you say thank you. Is it okay to start like that? What you have is to trust that the first impressions come from God if they are in agreement with the character of God you know in the Bible. You know that He loves you? You know that He wants the best of you? So as long as it's in agreement with that, go for it. If it's not, if you sense a weird picture, you say, Jesus, remove this weird picture. Okay? If you don't understand, ask Jesus, what do you want to tell me with this picture? Do a back and forth. That's the first exercise. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we're learning together. We want to start by recognizing that you have been speaking to us these last days, or trying to reach to our hearts, but perhaps we have not paid enough attention. That's what we want to do now. Speak to our hearts, Jesus. Have you been trying to tell us something these last days? Speak to us now. If you sense that the Lord has shown you something which is helpful, thank Him. Like in a relationship with someone who is important for us, if good comes out of it, say thank you, Jesus. If nothing, you're learning, it's okay. And when you're ready, you can open the eyes when you sense this moment has come to an end for us to continue. This learning is a possibility of sharing together. For sharing together to take place, we need a few elements. The first one is that we commit to not share with people outside of the room things that someone has shared. We're mentioning a name or making the person recognizable. We should avoid this one. That's the first point. A second one, never share something too personal. But when it's very personal, either don't share it or share in a way where you don't give more than you are at ease to do. It's very important. With these two elements, I have to be honest with you, by sharing together, some of the most important lessons we have of today will happen. So it's important that you share your successes and your struggles, especially those who struggle. With Sanja, we will be happy to pray with you to help find with you how to go beyond this struggle, because the purpose for us is that you have success in this learning to recognize God's voice in your life. And sometimes God wants us to struggle a bit so that we learn together. That can be one point. So, who with these parameters would like to share something? Who felt Jesus could show you something through this moment? Could you raise a hand? Who felt, okay? Who would be at ease to share something? Where it's something you say it's okay to share. Steve, would you be okay to share or not too much? Yes? Okay.
I guess if we go back to what you said, I tend to...
It's different.